Welcome to Brand Appeal, where we talk about brand storytelling in the digital age. I'm your host, Shannon Peel, and today I am going to be talking about the difference between personal brand storytelling and business brand storytelling when it comes to point of view and what that means for how you are going to tell your story throughout your digital footprint. Now, this episode is actually a special episode because it is a part of the Create Appeal program, where members of Create Appeal are given access to videos and special podcast episodes like this, which are only available on member pages on marketappeal.com. This episode is being provided to you free of charge and not even have to be a member in order to take advantage. Plus, you will also get access to the workbook that goes along with it. So keep listening if you want to learn about the difference between personal brand storytelling and business brand storytelling when it comes to point of view. Now, I'm going to start this whole thing with an exercise. So as long as you're not driving and you are in somewhere where you can sit down and close your eyes, please close your eyes. Everyone else, just keep on listening. Imagine summer is here, finally here, and it is hot. Oh my gosh, it is so hot. The air is stagnant. It feels like you are in an oven. It's so hot. When you look around, you can see the heat waves rising off the ground. Suddenly, you feel a bead of sweat running down the side of your face and dripping off your jaw, and you realize you are covered in sweat. But your mouth feels dry. In fact, your tongue is sticking to the roof of your mouth. And you realize, hey, I'm thirsty. It feels like you are dying from thirst because you've never been this thirsty before. So you move your tongue around your mouth, trying to remove that sticky feeling of thirst. All you want right now is a cold, refreshing drink. And guess what? You have one. Reach out for it. Wrap your fingers around that cold, refreshing beverage. Okay, open up your eyes. Now, think about what brand, what the beverage was, and exactly how bad do you want one right now? Now, there are a few subtle ways a brand can insert themselves into this type of story to motivate you to act and go get that brand to quench your thirst. Today, I wanted you to experience which brand has already established itself as your go-to refreshing beverage. Now, before you say it, because I know somebody is going to say it, they always do. Those of you who reach for tap water instead of a branded beverage, great, your municipality has done a wonderful job of quenching your thirst and making tap water your brand of choice. Same if you reach for iced tea, lemonade, or just any type of beer. Brands do not have to be a business. They can be anything that you have established as the go-to solution to your problem or need. This is why we have things like Kleenex and Post-its. Sometimes the object becomes the brand. The case of Kleenex and Post-its, of course, a brand created the product and that created the word for the object. But water, same thing. Lemonade, iced tea, those were drinks before they were brands. I got a little secret for you. A good storyteller doesn't tell a story. No, a good storyteller shows a story. Wondering what I mean? Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story. I was at a wedding, my brother's wedding, and they had a live band. At one point, the singer comes up and he says, "Hey, everyone, we have a 15-year-old kid here who has asked if he could play with us. Now, I want everyone to give him a chance. He's been playing for a couple of years, so be kind. It's hard to learn an instrument, so be patient with him and offer up your support. Let's encourage him to keep going, because it takes a lot of courage for him to get up here in front of you and play." So I look up and the boy walked on the stage and borrowed the lead singer's guitar and they started to jam. Now, as they're playing, the drummer's mouth popped open and his jaw started to get closer and closer to the ground. The bass guitarist kept shaking his head and looking over at the kid. After they finished playing, the lead singer bellowed into the mic, "Now that is talent. Wow, you can play with us anytime." And that is how my son showed our family that he is a rock star instead of telling them. Showing a story is all about allowing people to experience it for themselves. Why is this important? Well, in three different studies, researchers discovered that when people are lectured at, they tend to get tired, they shut down, and they want to go to sleep. Basically, they tune out. I'm sure you can identify with that. Whereas when told a story, the audience is moved to action. They may not physically move in the moment, but their minds are engaged. Ideas start coming at them from left and right, and they are motivated to do something, even if it's to lean in and hear what I'm saying right now and put by that refreshing beverage on your grocery list. And here's another thing. Not all stories are created equal. Many storytellers take the tell part of storytelling literally and tell the audience a story, and their story quickly reverts to a lecture disguised as a story. And there are a number of reasons why this happens. It's a presentation, just like what I'm doing right now. This is a lecture, not a story, and I'm trying to engage you by putting in story elements, but it is still a lecture disguised as a story. Or they haven't learned how to craft an engaging story. They don't trust the audience to put one and one together to get two. They think the audience needs a bunch of details and backstory. Or they want everyone to know how smart they think they are. Now, if we were sitting in a coffee shop having a conversation about all of the reasons people lecture other people, I'm sure we could come up with a lot more reasons. And as much as I would love to be in a coffee shop talking to you about this right now, I'm going to leave that exercise for you to do later, because I'm going to dive into how to tell the right story to the right audience. Now, good storytellers know their audience. Okay, you know when we were all kind of cooped up with COVID? Well, they had relaxed the restrictions here a bit, and I was, you know, I spent a lot of time alone during COVID. I have not been keeping that a secret. But one time I was looking through Eventbrite, and I came across a comedy show. I thought, hey, you know what? Why not? Why not get out, be around other people, and laugh at something other than my COVID hairdo? So I bought the ticket, put the event on the empty calendar, and when the Friday came, I jumped in a taxi and went for a ride. So there I was, sitting at the bar, drinking an expensive glass of cheap wine, in this tiny dive of a club, looking forward to have something to laugh about. And then the comedians came out, and they did their set, and they were all 30-something, unmarried, no kids, some played for the other team, and they all drank lots and had fun with the odd recreational drug. Now, I'm nearly 50 years old. I'm divorced, single, empty nester, with two grown children off at university. I'm a social drinker. And though I can smell the BC bud in the air almost every day, I rarely partake. Do you think I found the comedians' jokes funny? No, I couldn't relate to their stories. Their stories fell flat, the punchlines didn't land with me, just me, because I was probably the oldest in the room by a couple decades. The comedians were getting plenty of laughs because 99.9% of the people in the room were their right audience, and they got the joke. I'm the only one who hadn't done the research. And when it comes to knowing your audience to determine the story you will tell and how you will tell it, there's a difference between personal brand storytelling and business brand storytelling. Now, if you, like the comedians, are on the personal brand storytelling stage, the right audience will find you because they relate to the story you're telling. And like the comedians on the stage, people who enjoy that type of comedy made a point to be there that night because they knew they'd like the comedy. They would have fun. Heck, they even brought friends. However, when it comes to business brand storytelling, you have to research the audience, know what they need, and then go out to where they hang out to tell a story. So let's take the comedy night. So if I was telling a business brand story, it would be like I was the business who knew that 30-something single people who liked to party, didn't have any kids, potentially either gay or not gay, that they had a need for what I sold. So I went to the comedy club to get on the stage to tell a story that related to them, but really didn't have much to do with who I am. I'd have to do the research to find out what they thought was funny, what stories to craft to engage them. So here's the thing. If there's one thing that you walk away with right now, it's this. In personal brand storytelling, audiences find you because they like your story. In business brand storytelling, you find audiences and tell their story to them. So the indices of the story enable people to interpret the meaning of the story by relating their experiences with the story being told. Indices, Shannon, jargon, what? Okay, indices are the details people can relate to. So for example, in my comedy club story, the comedian's indices or detail, those things that are important are being 30, single, gay, or not gay, partying, were not things my experiences or indices could match up with because when I was in my 30s, I was married with two kids and I didn't party. So there was a disconnect. This is why knowing which details to include in the story is important to ensure you are attracting the right audience and connecting with them. Let's go back to the story of you being hot and thirsty. I pick heat and thirst as the details or indices because I'm confident most of the population has experienced heat and thirst, and that they have a refreshing beverage to fulfill that need. Now, if you noticed, I didn't tell you where you were, what you were doing, or why you were there. I simply told you that it was hot and you were thirsty. You filled in the other details of the experience. And each listener of this presentation right now experiences the same story differently. However, let's say I was writing for a company and they wanted their audience to be filled with 30-something single mothers. Well, I'd have to add indices or details specific to their situation and experiences to ensure they related to the story and other people didn't. I'd add sounds of kids playing, maybe whining for ice cream. I'd set up the sprinkler in the backyard. Probably something about having so much to do around the house, even though it's so hot and I'm tired and I just want to be able to have someone else mow the lawn so I could lie down relax on the deck and drink a cold beverage. Now I have more indices to qualify the audience and I want to go out and tell stories about that experience because my client sells lawn care services. Now, knowing the audience is important because the more focused the audience, the more common threads you can identify, the more details you can add to enhance the story, and you can draw the individuals deeper into that story. Now, in regards to the heat and thirst story, the other thing I did was I described a situation because memory is episodic, meaning stories that include inciting incidences, events, experiences, outcomes, personal relationships, or even person-to-brand relationships can easily be brought to the surface to engage them in the story. Now, I crafted the story to trigger a memory so you could feel in the environment around you and re-experience that moment when you were hot, thirsty, and how you feel about the cold, refreshing brand you are holding in your hand. If you remember, I also didn't mention whether that was in a glass, a can, or a bottle. I didn't know your memory, where it placed you, or where the drink would be in relation to your physical body. Was it on a table, in a backpack, a cooler, or the fridge? I don't know. But you did. I only wanted to re-trigger that memory and have you think of the beverage you would reach for. You see, retrieving, reliving, or repeating of stories results in what Aristotle refers to as proper pleasure, a catharsis, a slow unfolding of tragedy and catastrophe that then leads to a moment of realization and release called the hemata, or the experience of catharsis. Once you have determined the catharsis you want the audience to experience, you have to determine who fills three roles: storyteller, hero, and audience. This is where traditional storytelling, personal brand storytelling, diverge from business brand storytelling. Let me explain what I mean. When I write a novel, I either write in the first person or the third person, depending on the experience I want the reader to have with the characters. Now, when I write in the first person, I'm putting the audience in the role of voyeur. It's like they're on stage with the hero, watching the story unfold without any extra details beyond what the hero can see or know. The hero and the storyteller are one and the same. The storyteller only knows what the hero knows about the story, and the audience experiences the story through the hero's point of view. This is where personal brand storytelling happens because the person is both the hero and the storyteller. The audience's role is to watch the story unfold. Now, when I write in the third person, I'm putting a storyteller between the audience and the hero, enabling me to tell the audience things the hero doesn't know. I've basically removed the audience from the stage and put them back into their seats to watch scenes unfold with different character groupings on the stage. The audience experiences the story from the storyteller's point of view, and both the storyteller and the audience will know more about the story than the hero does. In the third person, I have three separate people in each role: hero, storyteller, audience. And oftentimes, this point of view people use when telling a business brand story. But the problem with that approach is, when it comes to business brand storytelling, the hero of the story and the audience are one and the same. There's nothing between the audience and the hero because the audience is the hero. The storyteller guides the hero, who is also the individual in the audience, don't forget, through their own story. This is the only place writing a story in the second person works. So you want to use you language. So let's go back to the original story of you being hot and thirsty. I was telling the story, but the story was about each individual who is listening to this. And I, the storyteller, couldn't see what was happening in the story beyond my own point of view. And it is limited. As the storyteller, I need to put you into a situation where a need can take place to motivate you to want catharsis so you'll take action and purchase that cold, refreshing beverage that will solve your problem. So here's another point I want you to take away today. In traditional storytelling and personal brand storytelling, the audience is passive, meaning you watch the story unfold and don't affect the narrative or the hero's journey. The story exists regardless if they're watching or not. The business brand storytelling, the audience is active. They add details to the story. They determine the hero's transformational journey because they are the hero, and without them, there is no story. They click to go one way or the other through the digital world and steer their customer journey from awareness of a problem to advocacy of the solution. And it is the job of the brand storyteller to ensure the brand is considered as the preferred solution. We've all seen movies or read books where the hero doesn't change, become self-aware, or in the case of Game of Thrones, even stay alive. Well, in brand storytelling, the objective is to move the audience, transition from problem to promise of a solution, to go from unhappy to promise of happiness. Now, the thing is, audiences that are watching a personal brand story or a traditional brand story can engage with the story on social media, can comment and like and share, but that doesn't change the story. The story remains the same no matter what the audience does to engage with it. So the audience is passive. The audience is active in a business brand story because they change the story. They determine what happens. That's the difference between the active and the passive. So if you understand what you want your audience to do with that story that you're telling, then you can understand whether or not you're telling a personal brand story or a business brand story. Because businesses can have a personal brand story. If you're talking about the business as the business's origin story, how the business became about, that is the personal story of the business. Or that they are going to be opening up a new office, or perhaps they are telling you about features and benefits. Those are all to do with the brand being the hero or the business being the hero. Those are personal brand stories when the hero is the same as the business or the person. I know this is getting confusing because I should be using different things besides personal brand and business brand storytelling, but come on, these are the words that I got to work with. When I'm talking about business brand storytelling, I'm talking about the business part, which is the problem or the solution to the problem. A business solves a problem. And when we're talking about how a business solves a problem, we're talking about the business's story, why the customer wants to buy that company's solution. That's when we start using you language. That's when we start putting the customer in the middle of the problem that they're having. Let's say that their basement flooded, right? So you want to start the story with you. Let's say it's like Calgary, where there was a bunch of rain and a bunch of basements got flooded. We had tons of rain, and now you are standing in your basement up to your knees in water, watching your furniture and electronics and your possessions get ruined by the water, not knowing what to do next. You are lost and helpless in this issue with this problem that you are experiencing right now. We know what it's like because we have helped hundreds of people just like you, where you are right now. We have helped them fix the flood in their basement. So call us at da 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 da, and we will send a flood specialist to you who will sit down with you and go over your unique issues with your basement to devise a plan of how we can solve this problem to clean it up and rebuild it so that you can be enjoying your basement again. So call this number, da 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 da, and we will send out that flood expert right away. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about brand storytelling. It is the sales part of brand storytelling. This is where you are having the customer understand that they have a problem and you are the solution, and you're offering them it as an option. When it comes to the top of the funnel, you know, you might want to be talking about stories in the third person, business stories in the third person, where such and such a client, a pipe burst and flooded out their apartment while they were away on vacation, and they came home and the apartment below them had been flooded as well as their floor was ruined. This is how we solve that problem. So there is that type of business brand storytelling, which is an important piece of business brand storytelling. That's talking in the third person, where you are bringing in Joe in Joe's story. And that's really like in brand awareness, you want to be talking about that. With your credibility piece, with reviews, you want your customers to be talking about how you solve their problem. And then when it comes into authority, you want to be talking about how you know how to fix this. What is it about you that makes you that expert? So now we're talking about personal brand storytelling here in the business world, where the business, either yourself or the business, is an expert in solving this problem. We have learned it from A. We have gone to school for B. We've fixed X amount of. Here is a white paper on. Check out our blog at. Listen to us on this podcast. That's your whole authority piece around business brand storytelling. But once again, in this area, you will be talking, this is more personal brand storytelling, where you're talking because now we're talking authority, your authority. Interest. Now, when it comes to interest, brand interest, once again, you're going to want to put it back into the customer's lap. Because what is the customer interested in? Why would the customer be interested in your solution over somebody else's solution? And, you know, you're going to want to know exactly the type of customer that you're going to want. What are the indices? What is the problem that you solve? And how do you solve it? But once again, you are going to be trying to tell it from the client's point of view. When you get into the decision, that's really when we're talking about the you. It's all you language. It's all about you are here. This is the solution. We're going to solve it. You already have gotten through the authority. You've already gone through credibility. Or you can bring in all these pieces if they came home to a flood and they have gone from, forget the funnel, they just come right in at the decision-making piece. And you can bring in all of those other pieces to add to your story in order for them to choose you over somebody else. Once again, I mean, if they're in that situation, if you're a plumber and someone's come home and they're right into the decision part of the funnel for a problem that they didn't know that they had, basically this is bottom of the funnel stuff. This is, you want to have AdWords. You want to make sure that you are going to show up when they Google for a plumber in such and such a place. You have to make sure that your SEO is there. You have to make sure that your AdWords are there. This is where you want to be on Google. Definitely working within the Google platform. But you have to understand what they are going to be searching for and by those specific keywords. So when they are in that decision-making mode, you are coming up. You don't want to come up with when they're going, why would I need a plumber? No, you don't want to be paying for that because they're not in a buy mindset. They're just kind of thinking, huh, why would I buy? Why would I want to hire a plumber? Like, what do I need a plumber for? Should I have one? You don't want to pay for those type of keywords. You are really looking for flooded basement, broken pipe. You know, those are the keywords you want to be paying for because those are the ones that you want to make sure that you are showing up for. Far away from the whole personal and brand storytelling. And I know I probably confused the heck out of you, which is why you want to become a Create Appeal member so that you can come on Fridays and take advantage of office hours, ask me questions on Zoom, of course, and talk with other Create Appeal members who show up so we can all talk together about the different issues that we are coming up with, the different questions that we have in regards to where we are, or where you are, in the Create Appeal program. Define your brand story and build out your digital footprint to guide people from awareness through to advocacy. And I, Shannon Peel, will guide you through the process of building that, which it is a long process. This isn't a one-time thing. This is something that you will be doing over time and ensuring that you are able to be everywhere that the customer is going to be based on the customer's journey. What the program offers, there's a video, there is this audio, you get a workbook on top of that, and if you go to, how am I going to get you the workbook? That's a good question. Glad you asked. Let's see. How am I going to get it to you? Well, I guess I'm going to have to put it online. That makes sense, right? So you're going to want to click on the link in the description part of this podcast, which will take you to a page where you will have access to the video, this audio again, as well as the workbook and some information about the program. Now, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode today. Hope to see you in the Create Appeal community. And until next time, peel out.